Live from the sixth subfloor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Towers. It's a podcast with more members than listeners. It's Guys Games and Beer!
Yeah!
Oh, that was very good.
So, who do we got here tonight?
It's Pinkos.
Ryan.
Larry.
I was looking.
Tom.
And Rob. And we're here with...
Gary Swear, the creator of The Day the World Stopped.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, so hey, we actually met you at the Pittsburgh Gaming Expo. You guys had a booth set up there, and I gotta tell you, walk past, and your game is an attention grabber.
Thank you.
So we need to say we said that we got to get these guys on the show to talk about it a little bit. So we're gonna talk a little bit about
The Day the World Stopped.
I almost
got it. He got it. He's good. All right, so. So, let's start with, give the premise of the game first.
Okay, so it's a, like, your old-school turn-based action, or JRPG, but I tried to, like, add some, like, timed attack events in it to, like, make it spice it up so you're not just sitting there hitting the attack button forever. It deals with themes of depression, relationships, and leading to an adventure to find self-discovery.
That is a good elevator pitch. Nice job there. All right, so
did you consciously did you have to put the suicide warning on there, or did you just think it was a good idea?
There is an aspect in the main game that one of the characters does actually attempt to do something, and he stopped, and it's important to the story, so I'm not going to take it out, but I just want people to know before they, you know, get into those things, because some people it affects more than others.
Good call on that. All right.
Yeah.
So, Rob's got some of the images up on the screen right now for those of you who are watching the podcast, if you're listening. So here's a big part of what caught my eye. Your artwork is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, hand-drawn.
I know.
And I'm just like... That was the thing that when I was looking at this going, this is hand-drawn artwork. This is not what it looked like, a simple little small mobile game. This is a big game and you have it being hand-drawn artwork. Wow. One, that must have taken a lot of time to hand-draw. And then two, to have it be in that form with the combat... Wow, that is some dedication there.
So,
thank you.
Did you do the artwork yourself, or do you have a team?
Right now, it's just me doing everything.
Okay, so
literally did your own artwork.
That's pretty.
All the artwork, music, and programming to an extent.
Yeah, so we were talking about that. You are a bit of a one man band.
A little bit.
So, for a project this big, it's unusual for a single developer to work on this. Was that a conscious choice, or it's just like, this is the way it's going?
It's kind of the way it went. The kind of like pipe dream was always to eventually do a Kickstarter to hire help before so I could get the game done before I die of old age. I was in a band back in the day. I did a webcomic for 9 years. This gives me a chance to kind of do all the things I like without having to kind of shirk one of my other loves to the side. So I get to do art, music, and tell a story, and I'm a story whore. So I like to give it away and get it as much as I can when it comes to stories.
Well, this game definitely covers that. So let's talk a little bit more. Jake, about a good thing. This is a... The art style is very unique in this. So, you said you did a webcomic, which I did not realize you had done before. You said webcomic or comic?
Webcomic. It was called Demon Fist.
All right. So, I was not aware of that.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to have to look that one up now, too.
It wasn't that big of a series, but I did it for a while. Bob, it's just it's degraded.
You said you did it for many years, so therefore it's got to be...
Well, many years depends how much time you actually have to work on something, okay?
Sorry.
I've done a lot of things for many years. That doesn't mean I've done it a lot. I've just done it for many years.
True.
I understand that completely, believe me.
True.
So,
I held back on that.
So, again, for our listeners who can't see the... So, this podcast is audio as well as a live stream video as well. So, for our listeners who are listening right now, describe your art style in this game, which is, to me, beautiful, but describe it a little bit.
I mean, I've always been kind of as I've been told by many people, I have a very unique style, which I don't mind. I've always been inspired by stuff like, you know, Akira Toriyama, Dragon Ball, One Piece. They're anime, but they kind of stick outside the stereotypical anime look. You know, I grew up not being able to draw X-Men very well, so I just did my own thing for as long as I could, and here I am now.
I hope this is a compliment, because it's a compliment for coming from me. Your art style makes me think of anime mixed with the Darkest Dungeon art mixed together.
That's actually not a bad description, actually.
Not too sure about the Darkest Dungeon, but I have to check that out.
It's a very dark video game.
He's not kidding when he says, yeah, it's a very dark video game.
So yet the art style is very nice, and yeah, yours, to me, is mixing anime and the Darkest Dungeon.
So the day that the world ends, is it our world, or is it your own world, or some variant of something like our world?
Or is it a metaphysical world of you elevating yourself to a higher plane of existence because your world has ended?
Now, without giving you spoilers, the answer to all that is sort of yes, but maybe no. It does take place. It starts out on David's world, which is basically Earth, but he ends up in his own like fantasy world. He gets pulled into another world and gets on his own, like, would say in heavy quotation fingers, your typical RPG storyline. But it ends up going to a deeper meaning. Like, in order to save himself, he has to save his world and this world. So that's why the whole, like, second tagline is save the world, save yourself.
I did not have as much time as I would like at PGX, because we were also working PGX as well as you, and we know how that goes. So I have not had a chance to, I mean, I've looked at, but haven't delved deeper. I'm going to continue on. Jump in and save me.
So you had to create a world. Because the Earth one, okay, that's just what you're familiar with, but the fantasy one is something you needed to sort of come up with on your own. You know, how difficult was that?
I want to call it difficult, but time consuming, because it's kind of like you get these cool ideas and then you try to like thread them together into a cohesive like tapestry. And then you want to do all the things that are stupid that you realize after you made a bunch of cooler things. And it just becomes a cycle of just revisions forever. And then hopefully it comes out cool in the end.
What about the story? What was the hardest part of writing this story?
JRPG, the middle. So is the third disc lull, you know what I mean?
Nice deep cut.
Yeah. Where you just gotta find some way to give the player something to do that actually means something, rather than just, okay, go find three more things. And I've been trying to avoid that by, like, you know, cutting unnecessary stuff or merging multiple things into one bigger thing that actually fits, like, characters through lines and storylines and whatnot. But as far as, like, the overall story getting into it, it was actually inspired by a real breakup. I had an ex of 8 years, and it just... Sad story is we fell out of love. And so I inspired this whole thing that, like... The premise of the story is the guy's having the breakup talk with the girlfriend, and right when he's about to say those "I want to break up" words, the world freezes. And before he can figure out what's going on in this world, he starts getting attacked by these monsters, and that pushes him into this fantasy world, and all he wants to do is find out what happened to his, we'll say, friend now, because technically they were going to break up, but we don't know yet. And part of the aspect of the game is kind of exploring his own relationship and how he really felt about that, and kind of dealing with interpersonal relations and how that affects his view of his world and even this world that he's now been thrown into.
This is a really rough breakup.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I got the feels going right now. I'm not going to lie,
well,
dude.
You know, so obviously there's always challenges and things like that. But sometimes, you know, I do some programming myself and stuff. And every once in a while, I'll go back and look at something and go, wow, was I just on my game that day? Was there anything you kind of came up with that in this process that you thought, you look at and go, wow, that was cool?
Specific thing, like anytime I get something to just fucking work, I'm just like, but like,
yeah.
Programming is of the stuff I do, programming is my weakest link. So what a person who actually knows what they're doing can do in a day takes me like 3. You know, I'm getting faster, but you know, it's been a long time coming. But as far as specifically what you asked, there was an aspect of the battle system when it came to timed attacks and everything, like a wheel. If you have ever played Shadow Hearts, it was very influenced by that. But every time you successfully do that, you build up your burst gauge, and when that fills up, you could do a combo. And having that all work, and it was probably one of the few things that I had the idea and I got it to work without having to fix 17 other things that broke because of it. And it was just such a nice feeling that it just worked. It just fell into place and it just did it.
Oh, that's a good feeling, I'll tell
you. Okay, so
I
never get that feeling. It's always like, how the hell did this work in the first place?
I know. Okay, so I have to ask. I'm gonna go into the weeds a little bit here for some of our developer friends who are listening. Again, I looked at the game, you know, love everything about what you're doing on that. Are you using a particular engine, or is this something you've developed yourself from the ground up?
Oh, I'm not that good of a programmer. I'm. This is actually RPG Maker. So
okay,
like,
all right. That's what
if anybody knows, like, it's like the most basic of basic, and I'm just trying to make it look as little like RPG Maker as possible.
You succeeded swimmingly well. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. I did not realize you were just using that, because that didn't realize you could actually do something that intense.
There's
a lot of custom plugins.
Wow, what a difference it makes. I mean, holy crap. That game looked flawless. So we've talked a little bit about what the game's about. We've talked a little bit about what you've done on. So now we talked about the artwork, but we haven't talked about the music yet. Really? Wow. Let's talk about the music, seeing as you've played out in bands.
I mean, it's just like high school bands, nothing major. And I, you know, just make music for fun. Like, I did a bunch of bad 90s covers over the past couple of years, just for kids and giggles. I just always like making songs and everything, always humming something in my head. And, I just have fun making it. A lot of times it'll usually be a lot of happy accidents put together. The theme that goes on in the first part of the game, where it's literally like, I hit one note in the keyboard and I had a delay on it and it just echoed in an unusual way, and I built the whole song around that. It's literally one note and it works.
Very much so. Everything, and again, from what I've seen so far, really hangs together nicely. The audio is very important in a game like that. And I think that kind of worked exceptionally well. What was that, Ryan?
It all went in my eyeballs. What? When you opened the beer.
What, I shot a beer all that one?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I watched it. It was pretty funny.
My sensitive dilated eyes. Yeah, oh, Jesus. I'm not editing that like out. Just so you know, that's staying.
That's staying in the show.
So, obviously, the group's pretty excited about this game. Where are we in the getting our hands on it?
I plan to have we're listed on Steam. I plan to have a demo available December 1st. It's already pretty much good to go. I just want to make sure things are all nice.
Ooh.
As far as the full game being finished, I'd say I'm about 35% done right now with the overall everything. But when it comes to, like, core mechanics, I'm closer to, like, 70% done. It's just making a lot of things, like a lot of towns, stuff like that. It's written, but it's just I got to draw the stuff.
So a couple of things real quick. First of all, people, we will have a link to the Steam in the description or someplace in the comments on the podcast.
It's in the description right this second.
It's already in the description. I'm lying to you, so click on that and make sure that you put that on your watch list. Wow, I'm doing great tonight. It's been a long ass week already. It's only Tuesday. Jesus, dudes.
Those trains of thought, man. So they're just faltering up, aren't
outside
they?
Outside of Steam, where else are there places that you can search for what's going on in the game? Because I feel like not everyone uses Steam as well.
No,
I do.
As much as we
do. Does, but.
Right. There's a link to my the itch on the website, which is dataworldstop.com.
Okay.
So that kind of gives you, get a link to the trailer, and also it has a link to either the itch.io demo if you don't do Steam, or just the Steam demo. So far it's the same demo I've been showing at conventions, and it'll probably stay that way for a while. I may do another demo when I'm further along with another thing that shows off some other fun stuff in the game that I want to, let people see beforehand, but yeah, I got to keep some secrets.
Sure, that makes sense. So is when you launch the demo, or then are you gonna launch any kind of campaign or anything, like any kind of pre-sale or support or anything like that?
I want to do a Kickstarter, but I do not have my ducks in a row for that yet.
Kickstarter can be a little bit daunting.
It's very daunting because, like, I'm committed to this game. I've already technically worked on it for like 8 years. Technically, only about four, because I started in 2016 and then never touched it for 3 years, and then started working on it around 2020.
Thank God for COVID.
Yeah, exactly. I had nothing better to do.
We cleaned our houses. We picked up old projects.
Started our programs again. Yeah. Okay. Continue. I'm sorry.
Oh no! No worries. But yeah, I totally lost my train of thought.
Welcome to our world.
What was I talking about?
Your Kickstarter process.
That is daunting.
But once I go to Kickstarter, man, that's when it's real. That's when people have spent their money. And as much as I'm committed, it's just like a daunting, like, weight. A scary, scary weight. Because I don't want to disappoint anybody. I want people to be happy with whatever I make. And not that it would change my process or anything, but it's just like, it makes it way more real than I'm, and it's scary.
Hey, like that's understandable. It's scary. Hurdles.
So we do a lot of things as far as, we know a lot of indie developers, we speak to a lot of indie developers. That is a big step because you are committing to producing a product. Whether it's a board game or a card game or a computer game, it's really difficult.
It is really difficult.
So,
I'm just going to throw this out there, what are your reward levels? You might want to think about, because the artwork's so interesting, maybe like at a certain reward level, like enamel pins.
I was thinking prints.
Lithos, art book.
Lithos, an art book. Holy crap, because your art is gorgeous.
Yeah, the art's really good on this.
Yeah.
The art is the reason why I would be getting it.
Thank you. A coffee table book, a litho print for the wall, whatever. I mean, that really, again, and what caught my eye at PGX was your artwork. The art style really caught my eyes as I was walking by, and that's when we got talking. And then it's like, oh, well, this is really cool. And the fact also that you're a one-man band is always kind of, we kind of like the underdog as far as, holy shit, he's doing all this himself.
Online forum short, because, I've been on many forums asking questions to figure out how to do things that I couldn't figure out myself. And I had a couple friends help me with a few, like, little bits and odds. But, like, overall, it's been me doing everything.
So what's the hardest part about doing the whole thing yourself? What is the absolute most painful part of it?
Drawing scenery, wow. Basically.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They're drawing scenery.
Scenery.
Really?
I like drawing so many goddamn trees and rocks.
Come on, just Bob Ross said happy little tree.
they are no longer happy.
I've drawn so many, they are no longer happy. They are scary and depressed.
And that's even with copy and paste, because, you know, I'll copy and paste, but I don't want it to look like I copied and paste, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta change it up. It's hard to stay uniform, too, I would bet.
I actually
put the same.
We made it to a moment of silence. We've done it.
Yeah. We did it. Yay!
Well, okay. Yes,
we knocked all the trains off.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, well, that was you, Larry. That was just completely you. All right, continue, though. You were saying.
I've drawn so many trees and rocks. I actually prefer cities because, I could just use a ruler. It's a lot more straight edges that take up space. Like, I don't have to just draw gribbles forever.
All right. So again, there's some playable demos available. What's your general timeline right now?
In a perfect world, I would love to see the game done in like 3 years.
Okay. And what percentage are you going to be at before you kickstart?
I would love to have the first third of the game done by the time I Kickstarter, and I'm relatively close to that goal.
I was going
to
say, you said you're 35% already.
Because that when it takes it's that 35%, that's taking into like the core mechanics and what's done with like setting and playable game. I need to do like 85,000 more trees first. got two more locations left to do, and that would finish out the third of the game.
All right. So people can, again, they can show interest on Steam. And again, guys,
link below. Add to that wish list.
Link below. Put on your wish list.
Make them.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, that's what... It gives you an idea what your audience is going to be, so you really can get a started on that kind of thing. So if people, and you're on it, you said, I'm sorry, Itch as well?
Itch.io. Right.
So for those non-Steam people, so we hate Steam, and we're still on it. Why aren't you guys on it still?
I hate it.
Because
Steam.
They keep erasing my accounts. It tasks him.
Relations with Steam.
Mm. Oh. We've been on Steam forever, so not that we like
I
Steam, but
Itch,
we've been. I'm going to agree with you. Itch is much better, but we've been on Steam forever as well. So, so definitely, guys, click on the link, put it on your wish list.
I'll be adding the itch.io link as well to the podcast, and if you're on YouTube, I added it into the chat on that one.
So for our audio people, why don't you go ahead and one more time put out the itch and the Steam links for people.
We got is just getting it up here. Hold on one second. Not remember my website's off the top of my head.
Can you shortcut them like you can? Let me test that.
Itch.io, it's the day the world stopped. Itch.io, but the day the world stopped has all hyphens between each word.
All right.
And for as far as the regular website, it's just daytheworldstop.com without the. And that'll take you to the Steam page right there.
Perfect. All right. So for those of you listening, check out those links. Rob, anything else you want to cover?
No, I think I've got it.
All right. Sounds good.
We mentioned it. That's turn-based. It's old school. It's got a really good look to it.
It's got an amazing look to it. Mm-hmm. Soundtrack sounded great so far. I absolutely love what
you're doing. I have a Sodder one now. Mm-hmm. So, like, you obviously start as a character that's in the game that you're basing on, but I'm guessing you run into a group of people that, or characters that will help assist you in your quests or your. I'm not one that plays a lot of JRPGs, so excuse me for not knowing what the normal. But I'm guessing you run into a bunch of people that help you along and join your. What is it called?
Party.
Big party.
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 Yeah. Party.
Party up.
You're killing me, dude. You're killing me. You're killing me here.
What?
I'm glad you turned to me because, yes, I do love to play my JRPGs.
All right. Sorry, but continue.
Or Jerpages.
Yes.
Jerpages.
Jerpages. All right. So,
yeah, you have, like, I don't know, can you give just a couple of hints about those characters if they help you along? Or so I'm guessing.
Yeah, so you have your main character, David, who's stuck on this crazy adventure. He meets up with a character named Shaden, who is a mage who uses words to cast spells, basically insults. So, like, fire spells, a sick burn. You have the coldest shoulder for ice spells, a dirty remark for earth magic, and a shocking insult for lightning. You have Kodoku, who's a wolf who lost his pack, and he's just looking for family again. And Block, who's actually a childhood drawing of the main character, come to life. Why is a whole other part of the game that I won't get into right now, but... But yeah, she is a weird character, we'll say, but she does all sorts of outlandish things, and she's kind of the mom of the group.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that was what I was for.
That's that sums
and
up.
And I'm guessing nicely. Like the base character is kind of like, I don't know, like the fighter class or Z got.
Yeah, you basically be your hero class, like your typical fighter with a little bit of magic. Okay. Kodoku would be I would describe as like your glass cannon, does heavy attacks really quick, but also can get killed pretty quickly. And Block is kind of like your paladin almost, the healer tank type.
Okay,
that's good to sum that up. All right, so again, people, look at the links below, click on those. If you're listening to the audio, check out the links he gave out. Rob, anything else?
Nope. All right, we're gonna roll it. All right, this is every episode of Guys, Games, and Beer is brought to you by Lionheart Racing. All the joys of racing without the rubber hot dogs. If you want to check out this game, take a look in the comments down below. Actually, in this case, look at the descriptions down below. We got links all over the place. What are we doing?
Really? Point down! Down!
I had pointed down, and then I was going like,
your
hand's yes.
Your hand's going all over the place here.
Yes, look! I pointed down and then, yes,
okay.
Look,
right.
Look. And then Rob looked at me like I was fondling someone, so I went like
it
this.
It looked like you were.
I did think you were fondling someone.
All
I
right,
was like,
continue.
What?
Continue.
Are you threatening me? What? Anyway. Anyway, you can also check us out at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer where you can check out the Dankest of Beams. Every time I know I say it, I'm not going to say dank again, but you shouldn't be 50 saying dank.
You
shouldn't.
Yeah, we keep
my master of mythology. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Oh,
okay, that is now what I'm calling it from now on.
Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving.
Continue, Rob.
by master of mythology, Dallas, remember that those are. Not safe for work.
No.
Ever.
No.
It might not be safe for your future well-being. You can also check us out at www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. And, of course, the big center, the big kahuna, www.guysgamesandbeer.net, where there's that big old red, white, and blue 77 where you can click through to our good friends over at Lionheart Racing.
Hey, so we've got something coming up, Rob.
Yeah, you do, you lucky son of a gun.
No. We will be...
No, there's going to be posts from Japan. We should cover that.
Okay, there's going to be a bunch of posts from Japan. Part of the G2B crew is going to be in Japan in a week, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we will be hitting some video game stores. We're going to hit some flea markets. We're going to do some beer courts over in Japan while we're there. So keep an eye out for some live broadcasts from Japan.
What else are
you
going
to do? And we might be seeing a band called... Lords of the Trident! The reason we're going to Japan to be with our buds over with the Lords. So, there'll be shows coming up in a couple weeks from Japan. Rob is going to be broadcasting a whole bunch more interviews we've done.
Now we got about six more interviews that we're recording at PGX.
Yeah, you realize after that, I have a whole bunch that we recorded at Game Hole and we need to put them too. Just telling you, Rob. Love you, Rob.
Being on this group.
Love you, Rob. We got a lot of interviews coming up.
All right, thank you very much.
Wait. What's that?
Brown Liquor Christmas.
20th Brown Liquor Christmas.
Okay,
no.
So on the 20th we got Brown Liquor Christmas, which we do every year. I think we're gonna do a Christmas beer court. Followed by the usual where you just hear us talking. It's just like whatever crap we are talking about at the table.
Okay. That being said, I will start a betting pool. I'll pass it up first.
It's gonna be a rough year.
Brown Liquor Christmas, now with more jet lag.
Alright!
And more problems.
Alright, let's take us out, Rob.
Alright, thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Do us a big favor, drop a thumbs up if you're in a place where you can do it. If you're on iTunes, give that review. You're getting way better sound than the people on YouTube. Those poor suckers. They just get crap, and you get this awesome, crisp sound that nobody gets other than you guys. Well, actually,
all the podcasts, but not just you iTunes people.
Otherwise, it sounds like a...